And welcome back to our Thursday edition of Talking Ball here on 97.7 ESPN The Zone here in the Rocket City of Huntsville. Scott Tyson, Drudy Armin with you. And man, I tell you what, this next interview is really cool. And because I have gotten to see this guy grow up and through the pool with the Madison Dolphins, with the Rocket City Swim League, through Huntsville Swim Association, through Bob Jones High School. Man, it has been so cool to see his rise through the water, and it all culminated with a trip to the Olympics, winning the 200-meter butterfly in Omaha at the trials. And I mean, it's been spectacular to watch his journey.
It has, and you know, we're breaking new barriers here on 97.7 The Zone. We love to continue to add to our cavalcade of amazing guests, and it's not every day you get a chance to have someone from your community reach the highest level of sport, really, and that's as an Olympian. And we are honored to have on the Neighbors Wealth Management Hotline this morning, former Bob Jones swimmer and now Olympian, Zach Harding is now with us this morning. Zach, how does that sound, Olympian?
It's got a good ring to it, I'd say. It hasn't sunk in yet that you're still talking about me. I'll have to get used to that.
Yeah, well, take us through the trip to Omaha and everything, getting in there. I mean, the 200 fly, for those that pay attention to swimming probably every 4 years, they knew the 200 fly because it was Michael Phelps' event. That was the event that he has dominated in for so long. And then you come along the first trials since Michael Phelps had been in there, and you're able to win the 200 fly. Take us through the journey.
Yeah, so the trip started with some really bad turbulence on the flight, and in my experience, the worse that the trip starts off, the better it ends up. That's just, I don't know why, but that's just how it works. And so the couple days before the race, my heart was just pounding out of my chest when I was just trying to sleep. I'm like, I have days until I swim. I shouldn't be, you know, doing this right now. I should be sleeping. It's 2 a.m. Let's go to bed. And then, you know, getting into the swims and swimming it one at a time is, that's how I took it. And, you know, I was top seed after prelims, and I was like, it doesn't mean anything. That swim isn't the swim that makes the team. And then I was tied for first after semis, and I'm like, that swim wasn't the swim that makes the team. And ultimately, you win the finals, and that swim is the swim that gets you on the team. So took it one swim at a time and won all of them.
I mean, you can't get any better than that, Zach. I mean, how do you slow yourself down and calm yourself? Because I know there is a lot of anxiety. There has to be a nervousness because you understand how good you are, but you still want to save your best for last, like you did, so to speak, and end up winning the race that matters the most to make this Olympic team and go on to Tokyo.
Yeah, I was, you know, brutally honest with everybody that was asking how I was doing. Fortunately, I was able to go through it with my training partner and teammate, Nick Albiero, and we were kind of joking to each other, but we're like, yo, how you doing? Where are your nerves at? And we were kind of giving it we're rating it on a Guitar Hero scale, and I was like, dude, I'm full tilt. I'm full anxiety right now. I'm like, I could throw up if I tried. That's how bad it was, and he knew exactly what I was talking about, was feeling the same way, and when the other coaches asked, I'm like, yo, I'm not doing it. I'm like, I'm, you know, freaking out. And they screwed my head on for me. My massage therapist screwed it on for me and, you know, talked me off the ledge. It was like, yo, you're fine. You've done this a million times. You've trained for this. You've worked your butt off for this. So you're going to go out there and kill it because you're ready. And I was like, you know what? I'll buy that. And they were right.
Well, obviously, those that were watching the 200-meter butterfly at home were some anxious moments because you're watching it, and, I mean, you're not in the lead for for about over half of it, and then all of a sudden you start to work your way up through the field. Great swimmers know how to swim their race. They know how to stay composed through that whole time. How were you able to do that in that 200-meter butterfly? Because I'm sure you had to see the field in front of you early.
Yeah, so I'm a back half swimmer. That's what I'm known for in USA Swimming, is to have one of the faster back 100s on the field. and that's just where I'm strong. So I knew based off of how people had swam it in prelims and semis that I would be a little bit behind at the 100 mark, and that I'd start making my move, and then come the last 50 is just time to gun it and run it down. But I'm very comfortable being in that position. There was, you know, one race out in January at a pro swim series where I let my competitor's race affect mine. I didn't have the swim that I was looking for, so I used that swim specifically to not get flustered by what other people were doing, trust my race, and just go execute that.
Well, and Zach, I've got to ask, after you won and clinched the Olympic berth, how many texts did you have on your phone? Was it at least 200?
I can't even answer that. It didn't pop up with a number.
Oh, wow.
I still haven't gotten to them. There's a lot. And between that, Twitter and Instagram, it's just blown up.
I didn't even mention that far. Wow.
Yeah, so when I got back to my bag after different interviews and getting to celebrate with my team and before my drug test and all that stuff, I went ahead and turned it on airplane mode so that stuff could come filtering in, because I figured people would be following and my phone would not be able to handle that all at one time. So I tried to give my phone a fighting chance there. But the overwhelming support, it was overwhelming is kind of the word that I would actually use, is just everybody that I grew up with, everyone I'm training with now, everyone I used to train with back in my college times that were seniors when I was freshman, they were all rooting for me and super excited. And so it's fun to share that with them.
Growing up, you were a huge part of the Rocket City Swim League. You swam in that for years. I'm sure by now you've heard that when you swam 7:32, I mean, everybody remembers the time on the clock. The Rocket City Swim League paused all around. All the teams paused and gathered around TVs to watch your swim. When you hear of stuff like that, I mean, are you still blown away by thinking that, I mean, you at one time were that individual watching others, and now they're watching you?
It's the most flattering and heartwarming thing that I can express, is just sheer gratitude on my part that people care enough to stop what they're doing in the middle of a swim meet, which it doesn't run very quickly anyways, and that they stopped to care about what I was doing, because I was from there, and I appreciate that so much. It means a lot seeing that, and the support that the community has had for me over the years and has had and has for me now is just, I can't describe in words how awesome that is.
Yeah, and Zach, talk about the next step in the journey. This is the biggest one. You want to be able to win a gold medal. What are your expectations going to Tokyo as a first-time Olympian and getting a chance to make some history and follow in the footsteps of a gargantuan figure like a Michael Phelps?
Yes, I'm just trying to take it one day at a time. I'm being honest, it's really easy right now to have a mindset of contentment and just kind of back off the throttle. It's super easy to do, but just because making the Olympic team has kind of been our goal for a long time, but now we've done that and we need to go kick some butt at the games. So we're just kind of taking it one day at a time, regearing our mindset, getting ready for that whole prelim semifinal swim. And you guys kind of said on the beginning that it's the pinnacle of sport, and that's true, but the peak, the summit, is at the final. So
right,
we got to get there first. So in order to do that, you got to get through semis. In order to get to semis, you got to do prelims. So I'm going to take it one step at a time, and then when I get to finals, we'll race for a necklace.
And you guys actually depart on Sunday for team camp. Where is that going to be at for Team USA? And how excited are you just to, I mean, take that first step in that long journey to get to that summit?
Yeah, so we fly out Sunday, like you said. So I've been home exactly a week, so not a whole bunch of time here. But grateful that I got to come back and see my girlfriend here and see my team and train with them for a little bit. Fly out Sunday for Honolulu, Hawaii, for about two and a half weeks.
That's then rough.
Yeah. It's a hard life being an Olympian. You got to go to Hawaii for a couple weeks, get a little sunburnt. Then we fly to Tokyo, like July 12th-ish. I don't do exact dates.
Yeah.
I'm sure they'll tell me where and when I need to be at the airport, so I'll let them tell me that. So I'll show, so yeah, then we go to Tokyo for a training camp outside of the village for about a week or so, and then we move into the Olympic Village and then start the games soon after.
Well, how much time in the pool you get to the venue where you're going to compete so you can kind of get used to the surroundings?
I don't know. I hadn't looked at that sort of those sort of logistics. I'm sure I'll get a couple of days, which I get two will be fine. But it's exciting for me because I've been to Tokyo in 2018 for Pan Pacs, and I went back in 2019 for a World Cup.
That's good.
So we saw, I got to see where the pool was being built at, walked right by it on the way to the venue that we were competing at that time. So I'm familiar with the area. I love the culture and Japanese environment there, and excited to go back.
As far as training goes, those that follow the sport a lot know the word taper, rested, and all that kind of stuff. How are you as far as training goes? I mean, are you going to try to, build it back up and then try to taper before the Olympics? Or were you rested at all and fully tapered then going into the trials?
Yeah, so I let my coach handle 100% of that. I just kind of show up and tell him that I'm ready for taper. To the best of my knowledge, we were 100% tapered for trials, and it panned out really well. And my understanding of the plan, I talked to him today and yesterday, is we flushed the beginning of this week, and we're going to go back up for a little bit, and then we're going to come back down with a vengeance, just drop the hammer of Thor, if you will.
And for those that don't know, you are a huge comic book. You are a huge superhero guy, going so far as doing the Batman outfit before a race earlier in your career.
Yeah, that was the last time I was in the Olympic trial final, racing Michael Phelps for a spot on the team. And at that point, it was the biggest race of my life. You know, I wasn't really prepared for the nerves that went with it, so I focused on being a goofball and being Batman, and that allowed, by the time that I'd taken my Batman onesie off, it was time to step up on the blocks and race, so I didn't have time to think about all those other nerves and stuff that came with it. So it was a good distraction tool. Looking back on it now, but yeah, I love Batman, love superhero stories in general, love the villains. The stories there are great. Can't get enough of it.
Well, now you can be a villain and take home a necklace, as you said, with a gold medal on it.
Yeah. My dad was telling me, he's like, look, it doesn't matter what color you get, they're all good.
Something about that gold, though.
Yes, sir.
Zach Harding with us on the Neighbors Wealth Management Hotline, the next Olympian for Huntsville, and the first one since Margaret Holzer back in 2008. And Zach, did you, when she was in the water, obviously this has been a dream of yours for a long time, but do you remember watching Margaret then go back and swim in 2008 and kind of take, hey, I have the ability or the chance to do this?
I don't just remember that. I remember when she came by afterwards and was doing a clinic at our pool up at Dublin, and I was playing baseball. I think I was playing for the St. Louis Cardinals, and she signed my Cardinal hat, and then I went to play a game. So I remember meeting her, and then over the years, as my career has progressed, it's been cool because I've gotten to connect with her a little bit and pick her brain and talk to her. And so that's really cool for me. See that full circle.
What kind of advice has she given you going forward about the Olympics?
It's more just of an understanding that I can be like, man, it's getting really busy really quick, and she just knows exactly what I'm talking about, and she's like, yeah, that's normal, it's all good. And so just being able to share what I'm feeling and my experiences with someone who understands, knows, and appreciates that is really exciting too. Kind of gives me like, okay, this is normal. This is okay.
Yeah, so. Absolutely. And we're all rooting for you. We were all ecstatic when you clinched a berth on the team. Now we'd love to see you medal, and a gold medal would be unbelievable. But still a lot of work left to be done. But we are really going to be following this thing closely in Tokyo, and can't wait till the end of July when you get a chance to try to complete this mission.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's like 4 weeks away, but my goal is to go to the games and have a games experience that when I look back when I'm 50 years from now that I'll be able to enjoy and not be like, oh, well, I wish I didn't mess that turn up. So we're going to go and we're going to have a lot of fun so that that doesn't happen.
Yeah, any anxiety, I mean, not anxiety, but throwing the year off. Obviously, the plan of having the Olympics a year later than originally scheduled to because of the COVID stuff, did that kind of help or hurt you at all?
I'd say a little bit of both. I was really happy with where I was at right before COVID struck, and then having to rework through all that, having to do another year of training trip, which is our hardest week, the hardest sets of the week out in around Christmas time. And having to do that all again, and we're just wondering if it's even going to happen, and wondering if it's going to end up being worth it. That was really mentally hard, and I hadn't had a taper, or rested, or time off mentally or really physically since we started back up in August.
Wow.
And it was kind of iffy at that point in time. So that part was hard, but it was worth it. I think I got really a lot stronger in the weight room. I think that helped a lot. I was able to learn that piece a little bit better, and my training, we fine tuned that even a little bit more. So it was a double-edged sword for sure.
Well, it was definitely worth it. You're now an Olympian, Zach, and again, we're very proud of you, and this is a rarity for someone to reach this level from our community. So the first since Margaret Holzer. Well, good luck to you, and safe travel. Stay healthy, and may you bring back a medal to Huntsville and Louisville, hopefully a gold one.
Yeah, best of luck to you out there over in Japan, especially in Hawaii, too. Enjoy Hawaii a little bit as much as you can. But, yeah, best of luck in the Olympics.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
Zach Harding with us this morning on the Neighbors Wealth Management Hotline.
Not every day you get to interview an Olympian.
See, there you go. There you go.
We do that at 97.7 The Zone.
All right, guys. Hey, more Talking Ball right after the break.